War is a universal language. I know a renegade soldier when I see one. Never occurred to me that one might come from above. Space invasion. Big car chase. Truth be told, I was ready to hang it up till I met you today. So you're not from around here?
It's hard to explain. I keep having these memories. I see flashes. I think I had a life here. But I can't tell if it's real.
We have no idea what threats are out there. We can't do this alone. We need you.
I'm not what you think I am.
It's Maxwell on the beat.
See what you can do. Welcome to E-Society Podcast.
Hey, hey, what's up? It's Azisu back again, E-Society Podcast, and this is ESP at the Movies, Captain Marvel. But before I go any further, higher, further, faster, it's the Nez!
Yo, yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. We got a regular episode coming, but this is at the Movies. We all just got out of seeing Captain Marvel. And before we get into that, there is going to be spoilers in this. So
no way around it.
Yeah. So if you guys are going to listen to this, we'll tell you when we start spoilers. And I'll also put it, the timestamp in the notes once we put this all together. But, oh, man. First of all, how was your audience like? Was there a lot of people, or were they into it? Were they not into it?
Yeah. Surprisingly, there was a good amount of people. Never know what to expect from this theater. I first actually stumbled onto it. I had no reason to go to this. It's about 15, 20 miles away from my house. Quick mini side story. The only reason I actually went is a few years back when Fast 7 came out. They had like ticket giveaways where you went online and you bought, like, I bought one of the old Blu-rays and they had tickets, and I accidentally picked that as the theater, and then they wouldn't let me switch it. I like contacted them, email everything, and they're like, sorry, you already picked. I was like, okay, fine. So we went down there and I was like, oh man, how did I not know they had the biggest screen in the area? So, I'd say since then, you know, I try to make it to especially the big movie releases down there. I've been to Jurassic World, Age of Ultron, Last Jedi, Black Panther. So try to make it for the big stuff, the stuff you need to see on a bigger screen. It's not IMAX, but it is kind of that XD screen. So you can just almost never call it, though, like how the crowd's going to be. I was actually surprised last year, last February, how many people there were in there for Black Panther. And that was a really good audience there, that like they were super into it. People were like reacting to certain stuff, but they weren't like talking over the movie. So it was a really fun crowd. This crowd didn't seem as lively to me. It was about as many people. I was actually pleasantly surprised. It was pretty full theater, which was shocking for this area. When we first got there, they do the tickets in one line and the snacks in another, and both of them were all the way back, almost to the door. So I was a little surprised, but overall it was a good audience experience. It wasn't as live. There wasn't as many reactions as there was to Black Panther last year, but still a good crowd. When we get to it and explain what it was, there was a super cheer at the end for the tags at the end. So that was cool to see. How about you?
Everyone was cool. I mean, I went to a 6 o'clock showing. It was the fan, whatever.
Nice.
Because it said you're going to get free popcorn and a free drink.
Oh, nice.
I thought it was going to be like when we saw Ant-Man and the Wasp, when they gave us the little bucket. No, you didn't get none of that. They just gave you a small little bag and a small little soda. I had to buy another. I bought another soda because I was like, man, this ain't nothing. And
right.
So, because I said, man, this movie's going to at least, if it's not 2 hours, it's going to be over. And this small soda ain't going to cut it. So,
right.
So I just, the popcorn was good enough size. I didn't want to indulge in a big bucket. So I said, you know what? I ate lunch or had dinner. So I was just, I'll just take it. So I was like, all right, whatever. Got in there. There's people in there already, and people slowly started coming in. And it was at the Galaxy and Sparks Legends, the DFX or whatever that was. So it was like super loud.
Nice.
It was regular. It wasn't 3D. I didn't want to see it in 3D because this was converted, and I hate those 3D conversion movies. So I was like, I'm good. But
I like when it's loud because that it almost eliminates. If you dare have somebody that would talk in it, then like it kind of zeroes that out. Oh, and another note too. surprisingly, it sounded almost like a newborn, and I was like, like early there was a little cry, but shockingly, I didn't see them walk out, and also shockingly, no cries after the initial and that was at the start of the movie. So I know that's always a hot topic for you at the theater.
Leave your damn babies at home, everybody. I hate that. I mean, other than it's mean to the baby,
right?
It's rude to everyone. It's rude to everybody else. I mean, that
right?
They didn't have their kids with them. There were some little kids in there, but they were pretty quiet. There was one dude that kept getting up and going out, and I don't know what he was doing, but I was like, really? I mean, we waited this long, and you're gonna
maybe go on the phone?
No, I don't know what he was doing, but he was going back and forth. So I was like, man, whatever. So, but overall, man, my crowd was pretty good. Man, they cheered and laughed when they were supposed to. But
nice.
I think the biggest cheer was the very beginning. It's not a spoiler, everyone. Anything
well,
to do
kind
with
of
the
is.
Film. No, not really. No, it doesn't have nothing to do with the movie. So
I had no idea it was going to happen. It was an amazing moment.
It was awesome. In the beginning, when they show the Marvel Studios logo, they show usually just pictures or images of what's going to be in the film, depending on whatever it is. But this one, we lost the great Stan Lee, and it was a tribute to him. It was just pictures of him and the cameos he had throughout all the MCU films. And at the end of it, it said, "Thank you, Stan." And I was like,
yeah,
oh man,
awesome.
Everybody cheered.
Yes.
So that was that was really cool. And, into the movie, I'm looking at IMDb. It's PG-13, 2 hours and 4 minutes. I wanted it to be longer. I mean, that's how, awesome, to give you a little teaser on how awesome this movie was, but Carol Danvers becomes one of the universe's most powerful heroes when Earth is caught in the middle of a galactic war between two alien races. I'm not too familiar with the adventures of her. I was more of the I can't remember the black Captain Marvel's name. Were you pretty knowledgeable of this story, or was it just something made up?
Yeah, pretty much. And then, I'd say, you know, in the 2000s, that's when they brought back kind of the mid-2000s. They brought back the rededication to this character, Carol Danvers, Carol Kors, all that. So, yeah, I've been familiar with all that. When we get into it further, I was also obviously familiar with the Kree-Skrull War from the comics, and I'm familiar with the Skrulls, obviously going back to early like Fantastic Four from before we were around, early 60s, early Marvel comics. So, but we'll get more into that when we get into spoilers.
Well, how right on was the storyline? For like book wise,
it was definitely different, which I know sometimes you're not a fan of that, but I really had no problem with it, and they've got to make it work for the MCU, the cinematic universe. So I totally get that, and yeah, we gotta tiptoe around because there's definitely something I want to say about it, but it'd be spoiling it. So,
all right, this was directed by Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck. I looked at their IMDb's. I've never even heard of any of these films that they made. Writers by committee. There's 8 writers on this. The story and then the three people that did the screenplay. You guys already know, stars Brie Larson, Samuel L. Jackson, Ben Mendelsohn, which was awesome. Jude Law, Brennick. Awesome. Annette Bening and Clark Gregg. I had a problem with that. We'll get to him in a minute. But overall, man, I thought the cast was awesome. Everybody in it. I was really, when they were showing images of Annette Bening, I was kind of like, really? I mean, I can take her and leave her. With some of her roles, but I thought she did a really good job in this. I really liked her character. I mean, but this one was mainly they didn't even call her Captain Marvel at all. But we know where that goes later. But Brie Larson did an amazing job. Samuel L. Jackson, he always kills it. So Fury, or what was his middle name? Nicholas, was it Joseph or?
Yeah,
Jerry, Nicholas Joseph Fury. I thought that was cool. This movie was good, man. I really liked what was going on. I liked the story. It didn't drag at any time. The comedy was funny. The action was good. Some of the CGI was a little hokey looking, but majority of it all was amazing film. We all know I'm one of the ones mainly that. You got to stick to the comic book storyline, but I don't know this character. It was never really something that I was excited about. And when they announced this is going to be a movie we're getting, I was kind of like, oh, really? But okay. But yeah, man, I mean, this movie was awesome. I loved every minute of it. I can't wait to see it again.
Yep, same here.
I wouldn't see it in 3D because I don't like conversion 3D movies.
Right.
But exactly. Brie Larson did it, man. She was Carol Danvers.
Awesome.
That was good. Yeah. Or Verse is what they were calling her, man. And I just liked everything in it. My favorite character out of everybody was Ben Mendelsohn's character. When we get to spoilers, we'll but because he's been typecast as the bad guy.
No doubt.
Like the last three movies, everything he's done, he's been bad. He was bad in Ready Player One. He was bad in that stupid
Rogue One.
Robin Hood movie.
Rogue One,
that,
of course.
And, yeah, so, I mean, he's...
Have you seen Bloodline, the Netflix TV show? He's in that also.
Bloodline?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
All right, okay.
I would have to look. I was thinking
he's kind of bad in that, not really, but still he's that's more like a family drama show. So
yeah, but I think the character that steals the whole movie is little cat, Goose.
Goose. I got my own little goose right here, baby Flea.
I thought that was awesome. His little character. He got a lot of screen time. That was one of the problems I had. Not that he had a lot of screen time, but the CGI cat, it did not look good at all.
I thought
it looked horrible. I was like, I know what happens with the cat that's going on in the film. Yeah, I'm sure the animal control or whatever they're called that monitor the animals when they're using them in film.
Yeah, you can only do so much. I noticed during the credits it was actually four cats because he gets his own goose gets his own little credit and it's listed as four cats.
Yeah, because some of the stuff, man, when he's getting thrown around, there's no way they're not gonna let someone. These aren't the old days. Old days, they wouldn't have cared. They would have booed.
Yeah,
they would have kicked that cat.
If they had to.
but yeah, man, you guys know the story. I mean, the trailer did it justice. There was no, as far as I can remember, that it didn't spoil the ending or didn't spoil. Any of the stuff that was going on, would you be all right with that, or did you see something in these trailers that did you think ruined the movie?
No, and that's honestly, I have so many problems these days with trailers. My most recent one being The Favorite, in that every key scene in that film was in the trailer, and it fell to the story. That I thought the movie was good, but that was one of the things I was just so disappointed in, that like it hit like every key moment. Like, and I hate when that happens. And I gotta say, I shout out to Marvel. MCU is one of my favorite things, and they do a great job of not always showing everything in the trailer, and then often misleading. And you would think this is the 21st film of the MCU. You would think by now, you know, I might decipher that more. But I was proud that there were some things that I thought I knew from the trailer that didn't come to pass. So, yeah, very happy.
Did they show anything in the trailer that wasn't in the film? I didn't catch anything.
There's lines I definitely know because I do the photography and I'm like, I listen to the trailers more than anything to like gather lines that I can use in my photography. But yeah. And yeah, obviously there's certain things that seem like, I don't know. There's one, yet again, another spoiler I can tell you. There is something in the trailer that's different than what we see. In the film, they did. There's a bit. It was kind of big, like, and it's almost like why. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
We said we're gonna go into spoilers. Is there anything else you want to bring
before spoilers?
Up before we dive into that.
No, just you know, if you love the MCU, check it out. I highly recommend it. I can't believe there are 21 movies into this run, and it's still just so enjoyable, such a great theater experience, and yeah, hope you love it as much as we did.
It was budgeted at $152 million. They're gonna make that back easily with this one, so I don't see any flop, or I don't understand how they judge what's a flop and what isn't, but yeah, I mean, we're not. Well, I guess we would if we were investors in this, and
yeah,
and our names were on it. But I don't know, man. I think this is definitely gonna make its money back. Everybody was super excited for this to come out once the trailer started dropping and everything. Spoilers. I really couldn't think of anything else to talk about this. I mean, because I mean, it, like we said, everything.
Yeah, I got spoilers.
Everything sure. isn't in the trailer, so it's right. It's good. I mean, you
love that.
It was some of it was misleading, but then when you're like, oh wow, and all that. So, yeah, okay. From this point, everybody, we're gonna jump into spoilers. Eric brought up one to me when he got home. I'm jumping to the end, everyone. But the very, very end. There's two credit scenes. There's the mid one, and then there's the little one way at the very end. Eric was like, "How did when Goose had the Tesseract?" He was like, "Is that in the 90s time, or is that after the snap?" I say it was during the 90s time.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't during the snap, because the Tesseract is one of the Infinity Stones. Yeah. So yeah, Thanos possesses that. I was trying to talk it out on the way home of the timeline of it, because it appears during World War II, during the first Avenger, and Red Skull and Cap fight over it. Then it ends up at the bottom of the ocean. It's brought up in the Avengers. Fury asks Captain America, "Can you tell me about it?" And he says, "Oh, yeah, you should have left it at the bottom of the ocean." By the end of Avengers, the Thor takes Loki and the Tesseract back to Asgard, where it stays in the trophy room until the events of Ragnarok, when Surtur is destroying Asgard and Loki's in the trophy room. You see him eye it, and then so he grabs it there, and then we get the opening of Infinity War, and Thanos and the Black Order have, you know, assaulted the ship, and that's whatever, like right there, that he crushes it, the cube, and then whatever, puts the stone in. So that's the journey as far as I was able to talk it out on the way home.
So how did the Skrulls get it, or Annette Bening's character? Was she the one that got it? Because it was obviously powering her ship. So
yeah, well, that's the thing. I think the reason why it's up for grabs, because it's unknown when it was pulled out of the sea between the events of First Avenger in the 40s and then all the way, whatever that was, 2010, 11-ish, 12, the time of Avengers. So there's all that time where it actually is unaccounted for. So that's where it falls into this film. So I can only take it that possibly Annette Bening's character is the one that retrieved it.
And another question Eric had was like, how did that awesome Happy Days lunchbox hold the Tesseract when Red Skull's ship couldn't even hold it? Because it like once it fell, like burned through.
I think it's inside the cube. The Infinity Gem is inside the cube, and I think like it was just like active. I'm maybe just, you know, spewing here, but that's the impression that I get. Because I'm not remembering this right, I'm pretty sure even like Fury, Hawkeye, Dr. Selvig, I think they all held it too. So I think it's almost like an outer protector. The cube, the cosmic cube.
I don't know, man. I think we're stretching it. I don't know. Maybe it was a mistake, or maybe something to do with them being in an alien spacecraft or something, because it wasn't something made by man. So who knows? I don't know. Maybe they'll explain it. Maybe they won't. But those were just
right.
Some questions that Eric had.
My
disappointment probably the most was Clark Gregg, Agent Coulson. It was awesome to see him, because everyone kind of got excited and clapped when he appeared on the screen. But
yeah,
that CGI looked horrible.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll have time for it, but I hope, in case, you know, they're saying that, you know, this doesn't mean these characters are going to die. There's rumors of a possible Black Widow movie, but the Endgame is supposed to mark the end of like our original Avengers, our Thor, Iron Man, Captain America, and it's supposed to pave the way for these second, you know, the second release, the second wave, Doctor Strange, Ant-Man, Black Panther, Captain Marvel. That's like the new Avengers squad. So I would hope that before, I know they said like they, once they brought Coulson back for the event, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, they said they didn't want to expose him back to the Avengers because they didn't want to cheapen, you know, it's what brought the Avengers together in the first place. But I'd love if, you know, for the most part, if these characters are going to step away, I wouldn't be surprised if we see him, you know, pop up again. But if they step away, it'd be cool, especially, you know, if Endgame does end up feeling like the end of an era for them. It'd be cool to see at least them, you know, see him one more time.
Yeah, man, but what he did in the film, I mean, it was good. I mean, I liked what he did, and this was obviously the first time that Agent Coulson and Fury met, so because they didn't really know each other at all, and they didn't know, they didn't know if they could trust each other. But I think that trust began. There was a scene where Nick Fury and Carol were running from the. That wasn't S.H.I.E.L.D., was it? Was it just a security in that underground bunker?
Yeah.
They like were, okay.
NSA, whatever they were.
Yeah, so they come across Agent Coulson, and he drew down on him, but then he basically just let him go. So I think that's when Nick Fury and Agent Coulson's first bond, like, oh, hey, man, right on, you're cool, I could trust you. So I thought that was really cool. But everything in this, I mean, it was, I thought, this is what I thought the film was going to be. I thought it was going to be, because in the trailer, you see all these flashbacks, of when, she's Carol Danvers. Cause obviously when she's, Veers is what they called her. She's already in, the Captain Marvel, outfit. And you were like, and with the blue blood and everything. So I thought they were going to show how she got, I mean, they do show it, but I thought it was all going to be like a beginning scene and then how she gets launched into space. It was all just mainly like flashbacks because there were, the Skrulls were, they captured her and they knew she had some info that they needed. So that's why they were, when they were like doing some kind of brain scan thing on her, she was starting to get memories back of everything. But memories, I mean, this was in the trailer too. It was memories of stuff that she didn't know. But she, like, I don't know if when she got blasted, when she, her character supposedly died to the people on Earth. I don't know if that blast from the, what did they call the energy? I can't remember what Annette Bening was calling it.
Yeah, man, I can't forget. This is the perfect time to tell you, though, my understanding as far as the character and how they got it close, but it's not exactly her origin. Her origin comes from encountering the Kree superhero Mar-Vell, and then there is an explosion where her DNA is fused with Mar-Vell, and Mar-Vell actually dies, and she then picks up the mantle. And that, yeah, that comes from like the 70s, as far as my understanding of the origin of the character. Then, you know, she kind of went away, and then you had, you know, the one you were familiar with, and then wasn't until the early 2000s when they were kind of recommitted to the character and, you know,
yeah, man,
started to write more about her.
Yeah. I mean, but it was cool. Okay. I was like, all right, I get what they're going, what they're doing. Cause, this does have to fit into what's going on with the rest of our heroes after the snap. So,
Yeah,
I thought that was really cool. But Annette Bening, she was she played, well, it was basically one character.
Mar-Vell.
She was Supreme, the Supreme Intelligence, and then she was Mar-Vell. So, and like, was it Dr. Larson? She was also that character. Is what when they were having the flashbacks and everything, because the Skrulls were like, they needed to know where this power is. So they go, okay, what's her name? Because there's a scene when they're showing pictures and they're like, wait, go back to that picture. And they were trying to zoom in on her name tag and everything.
Right. You know what's so crazy about that? I, as a person that's been now picking up these Captain Marvel pops and collecting them and, you know, writing the names even, I can't believe how silly I felt in the theater, like having wrote all this stuff. I cannot believe it went over my head that the Vers was from Danvers. I was like, oh my God, how did I miss that? It like actually kind of made me happy though, because it was like, you know, you want to not figure out this stuff. But I can't believe I'd been sitting there writing Vers, and it never made the connection that it's the name tag cut, Carol Danvers.
Going back to Ben Mendelsohn, what was his name? Talos? Is that
how you said it? Yeah, Talos.
His Talos character. His were the Skrulls race. They looked like those little monsters in what was that one when they were crawling around the caves? The Descent. I think that those monsters, little underground monsters, they kind of look like him, like them. So I thought that was really cool. I really like the little prosthetics they put on Ben Mendelsohn and all the other actors that were playing the Skrulls. I thought that was really cool. But I think, to me, in my opinion, the best thing about this film was the soundtrack. It was all just 90s stuff, 90s grunge, and some TLC and stuff like that there. But the best song was not from the 90s. It was from the 80s. They play it really quick. It was the Awesome Little Ford Kiss Me Deadly song. I was like, yeah, but they just played like a second of it. But
yeah,
I think I might have been the only one that knew that song. But it was really cool.
It made
cool,
me
man.
Happy when they played I'm Just a Girl. Like, I don't know. It worked so well for the scene. I was just like, I loved that.
Yeah, that I hate that song, but yeah, it worked for.
I wasn't the biggest fan of the song. I was a No Doubt fan. I know that was like one of their big single hits. I liked it. I didn't love it, but I loved it in that scene.
Yes, that they picked the right song for what was going on.
Yeah,
when she was kicking ass and everything. But I mean, all the fighting in this was awesome. I think I thought the best fight move was when Ben Mendelsohn was taking out I think it was Nick Fury when or it could have been Vers is when he threw him up. It was either Brie Larson or Samuel L. Jackson, whoever it was, I can't remember, but they were fighting in this like big room with a bunch of like a records room. So when he threw him up in the air, and then when they came back down, he like just jumped in the air and gave him a knee.
That was
just a total wrestling move, and I thought that
was
awesome.
Fury. Yeah, okay. That was against Fury. Yeah.
That looked cool and it was awesome, but it was all CGI, and I was like, ah, come on. I mean, but I mean these actors, I'm sure they don't want to.
Yeah. Well, I know they do have the stunt doubles too, so it's probably a fusion. That's what probably made it a little messy of the actor and then obviously the stunt double. So,
but I think the biggest thing in this for me that I really loved was, you see Jude Law and everyone else in his crew. And, that one guy from Gladiator, is it Korath? Is that how you say it?
Yeah. Korath.
Yeah.
Who appeared in, Guardians of the Galaxy. So it's so funny too, like it's all right there for you, but still I'm like, huh, like, okay, Korath's on that. And this is what I was alluding to earlier. If you look at some of the trailers, when they're like doing that initial walk, Ronan is with them. And I knew that. And I was like, oh, interesting. Like Korath, Ronan, Jude Law's Yon Rogg character, and then Captain Marvel's Vers. And I was like, you know? And it's interesting, like in the film, that scene, Ronan isn't with them in that early scene where they're walking to the ship, that first mission.
Yeah, it might have just been something they cut or they just erased them.
They changed.
Speaking of Ronan, there's a scene in it when they're basically, they pop up, him and whoever who he was with, pop up in every now and then, but then with the last time you see Ronan on screen, it was like, well, what are we gonna do? We're gonna get the girl. Basically, they're gonna go after Captain Marvel. So that's another question. When Captain Marvel 2 comes out, is it still gonna be in the 90s, or is it gonna go forward after Endgame?
Yeah, that's the question I had too. Cause like, I was like, okay, I get it. She's got to go do this thing. But I also find it hard to believe that she was gone from basically 95 to 2019, if we're tracking the MCU in real time like that. So it's definitely a question. Like, I know that Maria Rambeau and her kid were just friends, but still, like, I can't imagine her, like, just basically leaving them for good. Like, okay, I'll never see you again. Like, 20 years.
How long is, what's the time difference between after the snap up to what's happening?
Endgame?
Yeah, no, to what's happening right here in it.
Oh,
if we're going to jump to the end really quick, with the first credit scene. How much time has went by?
Yeah, so 95 when she leaves.
No.
And then
when it's 2018, when we got Steve Rogers and Black Widow and Bruce Banner and what's his nuts? Rhodes.
That might not even be 2018. The rumor I heard, and this is just rumor, is that it's 3 years after the snap that Endgame takes place.
So, I mean, Eric, I thought this once you see this. This is the ending scene. You see, I named them all, Captain America, Black Widow, Bruce Banner, and Rhodes. You see they're standing there, and I assume it's Avengers headquarters, the new one, and they're looking at the little sky pager that Nick Fury uses at the end of Infinity War. And the first thing that came into my mind was like, how did they get it? And then
where Fury's truck was. He dropped it where Fury's truck was.
But did they get it, or did someone find it and then just say, hey, this is what we found?
Could have been, yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And how, I just want to know how much time it is, because
I think 3 years.
So it took her 3 years to get to them?
Yeah, I think so.
As fast as she can move, yeah, I don't think it'd take 3 years.
Yeah, honestly, I thought we were going to get image of her receiving it and then being like, I'm on my way, or I got to go, or something like that. So I was surprised with the way it played out.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it because you got our characters, the ones that are still survived, basically the first Avengers crew. I was pissed that they didn't show Rocket, but hey, that's just me. I'm a Rocket fan. But they're looking at the pager. It's in some little scientific robot hand type of thing that they're dealing with, and then they're like, hey man, it went off, and they're gonna start see if they can get it to go again. But then when they turn around. And then they see Captain Marvel stand there, and she's like, "Where's Fury?" And then, boom,
yeah,
the movie's over. It was awesome, and I was hyped. I still wanted, I assume I was, now I could say I was wrong for once on here, that I thought she was going to be the one to help Ant-Man get out, or he was going to go into a time vortex and then shoot back to the 90s and get her to help. But obviously we're not getting that, and we're not going to see that. Maybe we'll see how he gets out in Endgame. So, but yeah, I was like, okay, whatever, we'll see. But I did like the ending, and jumping forward all the way to the very end is, I think we talked about it already, when they show Nick Fury's desk and it's empty. And then I was sitting there thinking, okay, well, when did this happen? But then, you know, Goose jumps up onto the desk, and that CGI just did not look good at all. But she obviously vomits up the Tesseract. They give it to her. What kind of monster or alien creature was she?
Lurkin.
Yeah. And
yeah, that's from the books too.
Who got it?
Who got what?
The cat.
In the books? What do you mean?
No, in the movie, because it was when they get to Fury and Carol show up, and then they're like, "Oh, hey, Cat, who are you?" And da 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 da. Well, how did that cat get there?
Oh, it was with the original Mar-Vell. Remember during the Annette Bening scene?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Okay, all right.
Yeah, it came with the original Mar-Vell.
All right. Okay. So.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Skrulls knew it because, hey, that's what was it called again?
What, Flurkin?
Yeah. Because they were like, they were all scared, and they were like, oh, yeah, no, it's a cat. And it was like, no, it ain't.
So, yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
I loved what they did with the Skrulls, because traditionally the Skrulls are known to be villainous, and they come and they assume identities. There's a storyline where Elektra was a Skrull. So, you know, they often, you know, take things back and redo and undo things like that. But traditionally, Skrulls are bad, but not all. There's traditionally Skrulls can mimic anybody, but they, like, for heroes, but they couldn't, like, copy their powers. And then there were Super Skrulls who could, basically the superheroes of the Skrulls, but it wasn't like they were all bad. Like, there's good and bad, like everybody, like everything. So it was cool they did that. And obviously the same with the Kree. If you remember Guardians of the Galaxy, they have, like, a Kree guy kind of denounce Ronan the Accuser as, like, he's separate, he's like a religious sect of Kree. So yeah, I really liked what they did flipping the expectations, because all the marketing plays up the Skrulls as bad guys.
Yeah, that's what I thought was cool, and I wasn't too sure. Yeah, because I do remember Skrulls, and I remember them being bad. So you just, it was a good switch. I mean, it was something that I didn't see coming. But the Kree, Jude Law and his whole crew, they're the bad guys.
Which is funny, because you would think we would have seen that coming because of Ronan, you know, and his Kree fanaticism, but didn't put it together, and I'm happy I didn't.
Yeah, because it was ruined it. But it was like a shock. I was like, and there is a little soft political stuff in this, read between the lines type of thing, dealing with the Skrulls. They're just people that are just
refugees.
Yeah, just trying to live their life and do good. And then you got the Krees that are like, hell no, we don't want you here, and you need we want to build a wall and stuff like that. I was like so we see where Disney stands, everybody.
In between the lines.
Yeah, so I did like that. I thought it was cool. It made me laugh. I heard some people kind of go, so we know where they stand too. So I mean, but it was cool, man. I like that. I did not see that coming, because I traditionally knew the Skrulls as bad guys. So it was, right. I was kind of like, ah, that was cool. And Ben Mendelsohn, like I said, he's been typecast awesome. As just being the bad guy. And
yeah, which made it work so well because you were like, oh, Ben Mendelsohn.
Yeah. So I was like, ah, man. And he turned out to be my favorite character.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Every time he said something, it was awesome and it was funny. And when you see him in action and everything, man, I just thought it was really good. And
I love the science guy line, like when they're at Maria Rambeau's house and he's like dealing with his other Skrull buddy.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember that. Yeah, I mean, it was cool. I mean, every time the Skrulls were on screen, if it wasn't Ben Mendelsohn or anyone else and all that, it was cool. I mean, it turned out to be, we were thinking that the Skrulls were after the, they called it Tesseract, but they called it something that whatever kind of,
yeah, hyperdrive.
Yeah, they were after the hyperdrive. And so, and I was like, oh, but it turned out they weren't. He was mainly just why they were they never really tortured Carol Danvers. They were just like, they were just trying to get information out of her.
The memories.
So, yeah, so they were
her dealings.
She had something that they needed, like directions or coordinates to something they were looking for. And we won't get into that, but I thought that was cool. So when you do realize, they're like, I mean, I just thought it was cool, man. I loved that little heartwarming part of the story and everything in it, man. But I mean, but overall, this movie was awesome. The score was awesome. The soundtrack, all 90s stuff, and then ending it with
so cool.
ending it with Hole during the credits. I thought that was cool, but I would have picked a different song, a different song. But yeah, I mean, I don't really like that album that song's on. But hey, that's me. But overall, I thought it was cool. You got some Elastica in there, Hole, REM.
Yeah, Man on the Moon.
Nirvana was on there. I was kind of pissed that there was no Pearl Jam or Alice in Chains, but
right,
I would have went over them over Alaska. Alaska sucks. So I was like, okay. I mean, but it was cool, man. But yeah, No Doubt. I love No Doubt. I think I'm just burnt out with that song. But
that song, I get you.
Yeah,
I
but totally get you. Like we said, it fit. That song fit the scene when we see Captain Marvel kicking ass. So I
feel like busting
awesome.
Out Tragic Kingdom now for the songs I love that weren't hits.
I just have all the hits on my phone. I need to get that album again because I don't know what happened. My disc got scratched and it just won't let me download it into my computer. I'll have to get the whole album again because there was some songs that weren't hits that were awesome. So I need to get that one again. But yeah, overall, do definitely go see this film. Yes. Obviously, if you've listened this
far. Well, if you listen this far, you've
seen it already. Yeah. And
I couldn't be more thankful, too, just to nail this point home, that the Skrulls weren't bad. Because if they were, I felt like that would have been such a problem, like, for the rest of the MCU, the previous films. Like, man, if they were bad, that would have been such, like, how is it not possible, like, that they wasn't, you know, like, if they were villainous, that they would affect every other film? And this solves that problem. They weren't villainous.
But I think, I mean, what they did in this was, I mean, because it would fool the people that don't know who they are and a little bit of the story. Like I said earlier, I only knew them as bad guys. So it was a shocker and a surprise to me, a good surprise to me. I thought that went really good with the story they're trying to do with these characters and everything. So, I mean, I was all for this film. I did, like I said it before, when we first heard about this film, I was like, okay, whatever. I mean, even still, I went in there expecting to say, okay, I know I'm going to like it, but yeah. I left the theater loving this film. I thought it was
loved it.
I thought it was hella good. And yep. I definitely want to get it again. I want to go see it again.
Same. So,
but yeah, this movie is amazing. See it in 3D if you want, but I didn't really see anything in it that was 3D worthy because I just don't like the conversions. But you do have these XD or the DFX theaters around where you're at, do definitely see that because I think the sound in the DFX theater because there's speakers all the way around, 360 speakers, and there's speakers on the ceiling. And when the fighting starts and the bass from the explosions and the gunfire and the blasts out of Captain Marvel's hands, man, you heard that bass like, I just thought it was awesome, man. I mean, I loved it. Right now, this is the first comic book movie we've got this year. So right now it's in the number one spot. Maybe it'll get voted down once Endgame and Spider-Man come out.
Endgame, Far From Home. What do we got on the DC side that's coming?
Shazam. That looks, right? I mean, it looks, I mean, I'm not going to go in there expecting the comics, and I'm not going there expecting the TV show. This just looks like a comedy, and I'm excited for it. I mean, I remember when they first announced it, I was kind of like, okay. And then
they're making it fun and funny, though, so why not?
I'm not a fan of this Zach dude, Chuck, whatever his name is.
Chuck, yeah.
I was just like, really? That was just when I first heard who he was going to be, but then once the
trailer came. You know he was in the Thor movies, right?
Yeah. But then when we see him, when the trailers came out, I was like, oh, man, they're going just straight comedy. So I'm like, I'm all for it. I mean, we'll see it when it comes out. But
Hellboy's coming out. I had a preview for that before the movie.
That looks horrible.
It does, but, you know, we're going to see it.
So. Yeah, of course we're going to see it. speaking of horrible, what trailers you got? I got Frozen 2 and Dumbo. And for some reason, they showed a trailer for Captain Marvel. I'm like, we're about to watch it, but all right.
Wow. It's crazy. Yeah, we got Hellboy. That was the one that stuck out. What else is coming out this year?
I don't know. it was just Disney stuff we got. So
I was shocked we didn't get Endgame or Far From Home. I was shocked. I was like, I know we've already seen them, but I don't know.
Renee said they got Jungle Book. So.
Jungle Book?
Or not Jungle Book, Lion King.
Oh, Lion King.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Oh, man. This the Dumbo trailer that they showed, there ain't no Timothy in this.
There is, but I don't think it's as big of a role. But either way. I'm hopeful.
I'm not. This looks like shit. Oh man, because Dumbo's head, it seems like these little kids are hanging out with him because there was a scene in it and they were like, "Oh, hey, he needs his feathers so he can fly."
Uh-oh.
I was like, "Oh my god."
Tim Burton,
if you're listening, bro, come on, man. Just stick to the story.
If it doesn't do well,
I know it's not going to do well.
I really wonder what they could do. You know how bad the hype is for Aladdin. People, it's way. I haven't talked to almost one person. Every single person I've talked to, the first thing they're like, so mad about the Will Smith genie, and I'm the only one that I know. Maybe Jade, that's like, I'm fine. Let's see it. It's no Robin Williams, but I'll see it. But everybody is mad about it.
It looks horrible.
I think it's going to flop hard if they let it go.
I'm going to see it, but I don't know. But as far as Marvel, and I'm just going by Marvel. This isn't MCU. Okay. Captain Marvel, we just got. We get Avengers 4 May 3rd. And then the month after, June 7th, we get Dark Phoenix. And then the month after that, July, right before Comic-Con, pretty much, we get Spider-Man Far From Home. And then in August, New Mutants is scheduled to come out. But
I think it got bumped to October.
I was reading some stuff that they might not
even drop it
at all. I mean, because from what I understand, the Disney takeover happened. Either gonna go through this month or next month,
and I don't think they have time, Everybody's talking about the in tag for Endgame being the X-Men. I don't think they have time.
I think they can. I think they could just do it, because all this X-Men stuff that we've seen so far is going to be gone. They're starting, right. They're starting over. So
yep.
I don't see why they could not. It, my fingers are crossed that that's what they're going to do. But this Dark Phoenix is the last of the new class, the new X-Men, the
right.
future past guys and all that first class, all this, all them. Yeah. This is it. And as far as New Mutants, what's her name? Anna Taylor-Joy. Someone had asked her, so what's up with that film? And she's like, I don't know. Yeah. We haven't heard anything.
Isn't Arya in that too?
Yeah, she's in it as well. And nobody yeah. seems to know anything. So this is obviously coming out after the Disney takes over. And who knows? It maybe it'll be in the theater, and maybe it'll just be on
straight to Plus.
Either Plus or Hulu. Because right. I don't know what this is. I mean, they're going for the horror angle, and New Mutants, there is no horror angle in that. So
right.
I don't know if it's PG-13 or rated R. I don't know yet. So I don't know. Whenever it comes, regardless, all the films that I mentioned that we're getting this year dealing with Marvel, we're going to go see them.
Yeah,
I think the only one I'm really mainly excited for is Spider-Man. But yeah, man, Dark Phoenix, Apocalypse was horrible. But I don't know. I mean, if this is going to be the end, end it. Don't leave it at a cliffhanger. Don't leave it expecting. Oh, maybe we'll if we leave it at a good ending, Disney will continue with the story. No, that Disney is not going to continue.
Yeah. The problem with this one is it's basically the Last Stand. Again,
yeah, that's what everyone's saying, because the guy who wrote Last Stand wrote the Dark Phoenix.
Yeah,
so
that's like, the biggest problem. It's like when did Last Stand come out? Like what, 2005 or something?
Dude, I don't remember, a long time ago. I mean, that's what I wanted to do, dude. If when I had texted you and asked you if you had all the X-Men films, because I have all of them, the first three, and then
I definitely have the first two. It's after that where it gets a little maybe-ish. I think I have First Class. I think I have Days of Future Past.
I have all of them, even the Rogue Cut. So,
yeah, that's the one I've been talking to you about that I still haven't seen. And I'm like,
I haven't
is
either.
It worth picking up?
I haven't.
I know I asked you this before.
I haven't. I have not watched it yet.
Oh.
I have it. I mean, that's right. I just buy the Marvel movies. Even right. even the crappy ones, even the Venom, and even the last Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I actually don't have the non MCU Marvel films. All of them, I have some of them, but yeah, looking on the shelf right now, I have all 20 of the MCUs.
Anything with Marvel in it, I have.
Awesome.
All three Blades.
Nice.
The five Spider-Man films we got.
You have Ghost Rider?
I got both of those. I got the three Fantastic Fours. I think the only MCU movie I don't have is Second Avengers, Age of Ultron.
Ultron?
That's the only one I don't have.
Oh, wow.
I have everything else that's out, that's available right now. So
I have the Blu-ray 3D of it because they used to, for a period between Age of Ultron, Ant-Man, Civil War, Doctor Strange, that used to be what 4K is now. To get the special edition, you had to get the Blu-ray 3D. So it's kind of funny to just look at here on my shelf. There's that period with the 3D, and then you can see recently, starting with Ultron and Ant-Man and the Wasp, they got the 4K.
Yeah, everybody. I think that's gonna be it. Hours good enough.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, so everyone do go see this film if you've listened this far, and obviously if you listened this far, you've seen it.
Then so, you know it all.
Yeah. So, but if some of you just braved it and don't mind if things are being spoiled, and dude, definitely go see this. I mean, this film was amazing. I was shocked on how good it was, because like I said, I went in there expected to just, it was okay. And I was surprised on how awesome this film was. So yep. Captain Marvel playing everywhere. So go check it out.
Yep. And we've only got 48 days to Endgame. The countdown is on.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. And for all you guys that are the stuff in our pockets with the Anchor, thank you so much for listening to those shows. Our bank account is climbing because right now we're at $1.36.
Yeah, hey, not bad.
That's better than nothing. So thank you, everyone. Do listen to our Anchor stuff and everything else on the GatorNez Podcast Network. I got a MacNez coming out. This will be out before that. I just need to sit down and put it together. So, yeah, everyone, thank you so much for listening. And we will be back later on with Up to the Challenge and a regular episode. So, till then, man, you guys party on.
Yep. Have fun. Be safe. Higher, further, faster, baby.